Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am Bishop Sean Cooper, and I tell you it's a joy to share with you here on Legacy Leadership Alliance. Legacy Leadership Alliance is a podcast dedicated to emerging generations and thought leaders for legacy transference in the marketplace, educational systems, and religious institutions. Legacy Leadership Alliance four points of light are mentorship, PK Alliance, and pastoral infrastructure. Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am Bishop Sean Cooper, and I tell you, it's a privilege to share with you here on Legacy Leadership Alliance. Well, I'm excited about talking to leaders, you that are entrepreneurs, private contractors, pastors, you that lead. I want you to be encouraged. But look, I have an exciting podcast. I have some incredible people. In fact, these wonderful people are my relatives. And of course, my family came to visit me, and we've had such a tremendous time together. And of course, these are the Gales. Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're blessed.
So blessed.
Y'all
so
tired, blessed. Huh?
Oh. A good tired. We've been working.
Y'all been on the mission field for the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
For the Lord. Well, you know, this is off the cuff, and I thought it was not only necessary, but mandatory that we get some time to talk to you all, because you all are such a unique couple, and I told you this. And I said, you know, the leaders that we have on Legacy Leadership Alliance need to hear about the Gales and what they're doing, because it's extraordinary, it's kingdom building, it's relevant, it's transformational. And I said, I got to get them on so we can talk, and prayerfully we can get the proper support that you guys need in this great vision that God has given you. And so let me just lay the premise, and then I want each of you kind of, if you don't mind, just give us like the backstory of your life in a nutshell, who you are, and, you know, just a little history, if that's okay. But you guys are educators, you guys are creators, you're innovators, you have started businesses as entrepreneurs. Your life is big. You got two beautiful kids. And most of all, you are madly in love with God and have an assignment. But I do want to ask you, if you don't mind, Brother Gale, if you don't mind first just giving us a little bit of your backstory and your history, I sure appreciate it. And then, of course, your beautiful wife as well.
Yes. Well, thank you, first of all, for having us come on and talk. Mm-hmm. Yes, my name is Dr. Marlon Gale, and man, God is so faithful. And I think one of the great things is, you know, people talk about potential. You know, growing up, there's always a lot of potential because we were put in environments where people prayed. So for me, one of my greatest potential, which gave me hope, was the prayers of my grandmother. You know, just seeing her pray, seeing her lifestyle.
Yeah.
And Julianne Gale, and just seeing all the things that she experienced, but her prayer was consistent. And that gave me hope because we were put in an environment where there was a lot of struggle. And so, you know, drugs hit the communities. My parents are good people. I love them. Wouldn't trade them for no one. But in the 70s were hard. So my parents got hit with drugs, addictions, and so forth. It began to change the dynamics of our family. So we're from Stockton, California. And because of the drug addictions, we ended up losing houses, living with family members. The struggle was real, getting on welfare. You hear these statistics in our communities a lot, and it was real. You know, we were like, all of the statistics that said you weren't gonna make it, that said you were gonna fail, it seemed like that was like the storyline. It was like a nightmare situation. There were some days when we ate out the garbage can, the struggle got real for a couple years. McDonald's garbage can, so forth. Me and my brother was out there hustling, cutting grass, paper boys, just trying to survive. We were in survival mode. But that praying grandmother, you know, my grandmother would come pick us up for church. And they would prophesy and say, you're going to be a preacher, you know. And, you know, I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I did believe that one day, you know, I would get saved. Yeah. But anyways, the struggle got even worse. You know, my parents ended up separating. And, you know, I ended up getting my own apartment as a junior. But I always wanted to go to college. My older sister went to college. I was going to be that first male to go to college. I did good with my grades. Sometimes I struggled, you know, with my attitude at school. But I got my grades together. And I got my own apartment at my junior year. My older sister helped me and my grandmother. Got my own apartment, got good grades, got a job. And something happened my senior year. I'm getting ready to graduate 6 months early, 2 weeks before graduation. I put out a toy gun on someone that was driving behind me.
A toy gun.
The guy was driving behind me, and I decided to, as he went to pass me, I pointed this toy gun at him. He came back with a real gun. He was an off-duty police officer. I started to pray. I was like, oh, God, I messed up. The guy drove off. Come to find out, he was an off-duty police officer. By the time I got to my school, he had called in to the police station and said, there's a kid coming to the school. He's going to shoot up the school. I get to the school. It was 1996, the year where zero tolerance started. I got to the school. 7 or 8 police cars surrounded me with guns. Do you have a gun? And I was like, it's a toy gun. And I got arrested. And I was supposed to be that first one to go to college. The assistant principal, his name is Marlon, came to me. And he said, you know what? You're getting expelled. And I was just like, wow, it hit me, you know. But God knew. God had a plan. So that night, I went to the police station. And, you know, my mom picked me up. I didn't get a record. But that night I prayed. And that was my turning point. I said, God, if you make a way for me still to go to college, I said, I'll give my life to you. And, you know, the scripture talks a lot about grace. It's not that we first loved him, but he first loved us. And, you know, God heard my prayers. About a month later, they mailed my diploma in the mail. I had straight A's the last 2 weeks, went to zeros. My grades ended up being C's and D's for that semester. They mailed my diploma in the mail. I started college early. Somebody invited me to church, Pentecostal church. Got the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And that changed everything. Got baptized. And God just began to give me a testimony. I started believing, you know what? I can do all things through Christ. Make a long story short, just start living for God with all my heart. Years later, after finishing my bachelor's degree in international studies, I became a teacher. And that same school district I was expelled from, got married, and then the job came up to get the same job as the assistant principal at that same school I was expelled from. At that time, we were also youth pastors.
Come on now.
We had also did missions for many years, and I got hired to be the assistant principal at the same school I was expelled from, and in charge of security, and was in my last year of my doctorate degree program. God is faithful. He took a lime and turned it into lemonade, right? Yeah, he said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
And turned it around. The same school.
Come on, Jesus.
The same school.
He turned it around. And then the person who was assistant principal, his name was Marlon. Same name as mine. I got that. I got his job.
And you got, come on now.
And then later became
only God can do this.
Only God. And then later became a principal. And then my dissertation was on improving graduation rates for African American male students.
Bro, let me pound it, man.
So I ended up teaching at the university.
Yeah, I wanted to hear that backstory because going forward of what we want to talk about, I just want people to hear your testimony to lay the foundation. All right, Sister Gail.
Amen.
Talk to me for a minute. What has God done in your life? It's very unique. I know your mom. I know some of the history, but give me the backstory.
Amen. God has been so faithful. I was raised in church. I actually was born on a Sunday, so
what
I always joke I was born in church.
Come on, huh?
Almost born in church, right? Physically, but I'm so grateful that God kept me. I remember at 8 years old. After receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, crying at an altar and telling the Lord that I wanted to do full-time ministry. And so being in this season of our lives as we transition to the mission field, we just know that God is in control and that we are in the middle of God's will. Amen. And during my teenage years, I struggled deeply with depression and suicide. And God was faithful that I was able to survive several suicide attempts, and just felt like I had no hope. Like God, where are you in the midst of everything? But God, He saw me through. He saw me through every season, every challenge, every difficulty.
Yes.
And even outside of that, He used those to birth a powerful ministry of really bringing and helping others find emotional healing. The Lord brought emotional healing to me, but also helped me with praying with others and other sisters in the body of Christ. But I'm just so grateful that God kept me. I used to always pray as a teenager and as a young woman, God, keep me when I don't want to be kept.
Yeah.
Because there's so many seasons where you just decide you want to do something else with your life. But I'm so glad that God kept me, and I'm so glad that He allowed me to get to this space of grace in my life. And so grateful to still be able to do ministry and to reach the lost with the precious, precious knowledge and the truth of who Jesus is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you guys have an incredible testimony. I wanted the people to kind of hear your stories. Of course, there's more to your life than just what you went through. You know, there are things that we've talked about that has just been extraordinary and remarkable. But now you guys are at a very pivoted moment as it relates to this next chapter in your life. Concerning ministry, and one thing that is unique is that you guys are missionaries. In fact, you are entrepreneurs, authors, educators, preachers, / missionaries, all in one. What mean it this? So I wanted to speak on the mission field. What birth the mission field in you all? You're African Americans, which is a rarity in ministry, that missions is something, and I'm not talking about missionary just going through to the high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm a missionary, but I'm going around the corner.
Yeah.
But you guys are international missionaries. And so what I want to ask is, what birthed the mission field in you all's heart? And so we want to talk about this next chapter in your life, about Brazil. Is that correct?
Yeah, Brazil.
So tell us about this incredible impression that God put up on your heart, this call. How did this come into view about the mission field in Brazil?
First of all, prayer.
Are y'all excited?
Yes.
We're excited.
I'm ready.
You took that deep breath.
Yes. I'm ready to be gone already.
Yes. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be called by God.
Mm.
And so tell us about this next chapter in ministry as it relates to mission.
There's something powerful about just giving everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're so blessed. We struggle, but then we've overcome, and we've got so much here. Like, we've had the beautiful jobs and the careers, and we have the nice houses and all that. But then when God says, I'm calling you deeper.
Yeah.
And just to say, you know what, God, we're ready to let it go and to be in unity with that, to say God's calling us to go deeper into the harvest because we're in the last days.
Yeah.
And if I don't go and if I don't listen, none of this stuff means anything. Like, thank God. I thank God for education. I thank God for, but when God calls you to go deeper, it's like, I told my wife one day, I said, they could pay me $1 million, I'm not going to stay.
Come on.
Because God's calling us to go deeper and to go full time.
So what if they give you $2 million?
I still won't go. Some people say you can use that for the Lord, hey. You know?
So this is extraordinary because you guys are in your late 30s, 40s.
I'm 44. My wife
I'm
is in
36.
Her mid-30s.
Oh, you okay. And, you know, you have your careers, you got two kids, you're settled.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden,
you're
already traveling the world, but now this is different.
Yep.
Because we're talking about what nation you're going to?
Brazil.
And you're going to move there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Permanently.
Uproot.
Permanently.
And reset your whole life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. We have a saying, I'm my wife step in. But there's a saying, and we didn't come up with it, but it says, may the lamb that was slain receive the full reward for his suffering. Because what this is all about, it's not about me, it's not about my wife, it's about the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we really believe that it's about the lamb. We're in the last days, and God's going to squeeze the glory out of everything.
That's right.
So after we returned from Cuba, the Lord just really began to impress on our hearts, even more so about going into full-time missions. I started to pray about the nation of Brazil because one of the groups that we were going with was headed to Brazil. And so I was like, oh, that's always a place I've wanted to visit. And I just started thinking about Brazil, and the Lord laid Brazil on our hearts. I saw online a video of some missionaries, and I thought maybe I should invite them to our church, but I thought, no, I don't want to, you know, tell my senior pastor what to do. You know, he should just be led of the Holy Ghost, who he allows to come. If it's going to happen, it'll happen organically. If it's the Lord's will, it'll happen in his timing and when he would like for it to happen. And so that week we met with a retired missionary to the nation of Spain, thinking that he would tell us to move to Spain. And he said, if I was a betting man, my money is on Brazil. My money is at knowing you all the way that you do, and the way you love people, and the way that you love fellowshipping. I think that would be the right place for you. And so that Sunday at church, we had been traveling so much, we saw someone that we hadn't really seen. And we said, who was that? And my husband said, well, maybe he's a retired missionary to Portugal. And I said, no, I know someone from there. I don't think that's where he's from. And he said, well, maybe it's for Spain. I said, we just met with a gentleman from Spain. And then I went up to him and I said, sir, where did you serve as a missionary? And he said, the beautiful nation of Brazil for over 40 years.
Wow.
And so from that just birthed a beautiful relationship and friendship with an elderly missionary couple who they're in their 80s. And we just spent a lot of time gleaning from them and their wisdom. And they connected us with their son who's still in the field. And from that, just birthed this great relationship with a church that's there and a nationalized work in Brazil. And we just felt God calling us to be there, and they felt it as well, and God confirmed it. If I were to tell you all the stories of every confirmation, I think we've told you maybe three of them, but if I were to tell you all of them, you'd be like, I don't know why you weren't already there.
So the Lord really, I guess some of the highlights of this, and I can hear from also you as well, Brother Gail. One of the highlights that stands out to this is that at any point in any time of your life, we should always be available when God comes for us.
Come on.
Yeah.
And be willing to give whatever sacrifice that's necessary to fulfill His will. Because a lot of times we get to a place that we get settled in our life, we feel like we've done enough, suffered enough, given enough, and we built up enough that now our sacrifice is optional. It's predicated on this or that, right? So you guys are like Abraham and Sarah. You're not that old. You know, you guys are still fairly young from my perspective. But for your willingness to say, God, I'm not just available. I'm willing, sacrificially, to follow you with all my heart, and I have enough faith that the second half of my life will be better than the first.
Yeah.
Irregardless of what you ask of me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna tell you yes.
Yep. We were looking at, say, our identities. It's like, okay, we're doing all things through Christ. I'm in the education system where we're making a difference in the campus. My wife is in social work and have the law degree. And we can go another 20 years doing that, and God can use us in those capacities. But we felt like, you know what? We want to go 100%. So it's not enough to just say, oh, I was a doctor, or oh, I was this and that. I know I was born to be in the mission field, taking all my talents, all my gifts, laying it before the Lamb and say, God, use it to disciple the lost. Use it to help build churches. Use it to encourage people with the gospel. So it's now or never. I don't want to wait till I'm 65. I don't want to wait till I'm 60. Yeah. I don't want to wait till I'm 55. It's time to go now. I'm in my mid-40s, and we're going to go be about our Father's business and help serve and give all of our talents, all of our energy to the gospel, and for our kids to know that we're stepping out, we're willing to nail all the stuff that we have to the cross and use our talents and our gifts for His glory.
You know, just listening to you guys, I feel convicted, but it's a different type of conviction, like not a conviction that I'm in some horrible sin, but it is a conviction as it relates to where's my yes to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, because listening to you guys, a doctor, a lawyer, labored in the community, two beautiful kids, have been comfortable at this particular time, but yet your yes to God is as though you first got saved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This yes is a fresh yes.
Yes.
It is a yes that's not tired. It's a yes that is not burnt out. It's a Absolutely. Yes that is fresh. Because you guys, we grew up the same way. It's the altar call.
Yep.
And you know, the yep. mothers, when they said, baby, just tell the Lord yes. And, yes. and the more you said yes.
Yes to your will.
It seemed like that yes got deeper.
Yep.
And you say it over and over yep. and over
yes,
and over
Lord.
Again.
Yes,
till
Lord.
It get good. And it was a yes that said, I'm submitted. Mm. I'm consecrated. I'm not perfect, but I'm willing.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
You know? And to have a fresh yes where you are is a beautiful commentary. It's a beautiful sight that rekindles passion in the listeners. It for me, of course, I'm just as crazy as you. Mm-hmm. I believe if the Lord said it right now, I'm mm-hmm. 57.
Yes.
I believe. Now, I got to talk to my wife. she may feel a little different, right? I mean, if he did come, could I, mm-hmm. can I tell him yes as I did when I first told him yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a beautiful heartbeat and just to hear you guys. So we're going to sign off in just a minute. So just tell us a little bit more about Brazil, and then how could we support this next chapter in your life?
I'll let my wife touch on this part. I'll just say one more thing. So one of the things we're talking about, that yes, it's one thing if one person says yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
But when you're both on the same page of yes, and God said it to both of you,
yes.
When God spoke to my wife and she said, I'd rather raise my children in the dangerous center of the will of God
Come
than
on.
To be in the comfort of my flesh, I knew we were leaving to
Come
the mission
on, sis. Boy,
she said that, and my wife, she caught the fire. She caught the fire so much that people were looking at me, one of the elders. He said, I don't know if you got it like her. I was like, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. That's a beautiful.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
I think that again, all of this for me just comes back to burden. I feel like we have to really truly understand that a true burden for souls is just a revelation of their lost state.
Mm.
And their destination in eternity. Like when I look at the eternity and I look at the people in Brazil, I want every single one of them to be there with me. And that alone, and loving them like Christ loves them,
yeah.
compels us to do what we feel we need to do in order to reach them. Different ways that people can reach out to us is through our email address. So our email address is gaylfamilyonamission@gmail.com. So that's Gail, G-A-Y-L-E, familyonamission@gmail.com. And then you can also find my husband on Facebook or social media at Marlon Gail on Facebook. And those are like the easiest ways to get a hold of us. And we just want to share our burden, yes, for Brazil, but also for just souls in general. I think the Lord wants to see his people love the body of Christ and love humanity the way that he does. And that's not just, you know, just only in our giving, but it's also in our compassion and our concern for people's eternity.
Yeah.
And to pray for us, because prayer, all of this is predicated on prayer.
Yeah.
Without a prayer life, none of this
Hallelujah.
Would have been sparked in our spirit. So prayer is number one, but God is faithful. We just want to help steer up this generation. And, you know, it's about Jesus. It's what it's all about. And time is short, and this is the time.
I don't know how we could say we love God, you know, so strong and not want others to know and experience yeah. that love. And when you experience it and you know what it is and you know how it can change you, you want other people to experience that. And God is just using us as one small piece of that puzzle. But he is looking for all of us, for all the leaders in the body of Christ, to truly take a hold of his burden for people.
And we think about our children. You know, at the end of the day, one person said, you know what? What if God was doing all this? Thank God for your burden and
yes.
everything. But what if this is really about your children, the next generation,
That's
about
right.
their ministry and what God's going to produce through all of this?
Yeah.
Because we left all of that to do his will.
That's right. I want you to give that information again in just a second here so people can know how... they can support. So a couple of things. One, when are you guys actually making the transition?
Yes, we're leaving this year July 5th. Okay. July 5th, we're leaving to Brazil.
So it would be a blessing, you that are listening, to support this incredible couple. You can give a one-time gift or a monthly gift. And I'm going to talk to my staff and my wife and the leaders and see what we can do as well. We're definitely going to participate and bless them. But, you know, what specific things that, you know, we can do to support. So let me ask you guys this one more question. As African Americans, and the reason why I point that out, of course, we all grew up in a salad bowl in California, mm-hmm. so we are very we're very accustomed to multiculturalness.
Right.
But this is very rarity and unique about African American missionaries. How rare is that to you guys? Because you guys are on the mission field. And what would you say to young preachers that happen to be people of color that do not look at the kingdom and the gospel as that being a touch or call? What would you say?
I would say, first of all, you're not an imposter. You know, they say imposter syndrome, where
right.
you feel like you're in this place where it's like, oh, somebody's going to find you out. You're not supposed to be there. When it comes to the gospel, definitely,
yeah.
you don't have to feel like you're an imposter at all. We come from a background of people that maybe they didn't have all the education. Maybe they didn't have all the other privileges, you know, the money and so forth. But when you talk about faith, you talk about knowing the blood of Jesus, you talk about knowing the power
yeah.
of the
right.
cross. We come from a legacy of that, of people
yeah.
who were real Christians. So there's something about when we step out into the mission field, people see that you're not fake, you're real. You're there because of the cross, the power of the name of Jesus Christ. He's carried you through. And I feel that. You feel that power. You feel that legacy. I would be in some of these places and I'm just thinking, wow, God, the enemy thought he had us, what he meant for the harm, whether it was slavery, segregation, all this stuff, but to come back and step in other territories, not because we were brought there by a ship or a forced diaspora, but coming just with the gospel and to love people and to have that opportunity to represent our faith and to represent our legacy in other territories and learn different languages. It is victory. Mm. It is powerful.
Yeah, I think people.
Our cousins.
I think people see
I'm glad to know
like the pureness of your heart, the pureness of your motives, because they know how much of in their minds a sacrifice it is. We don't call it a sacrifice. We don't use that terminology. We say it's our reasonable service, but they see it as a sacrifice, and they are just so humbled by that, and
mm-hmm.
they are drawn to us, and they want to ask us questions in a different kind of way. I think for young women, especially in ministry that are interested in missions, young women of color, I'd say that there's a lot of ministry opportunities overseas.
Yeah.
Black women are seen in a very positive light overseas. They're seen as educated, they're seen as smart, they're seen as just a lot of very positive things. And so I think there's a lot of space for ministry overseas. And I think the harvest is just ripe.
It's just beautiful.
We would go into territories yeah. and people were just ready to hear the gospel
just
for us. I remember in one day I got like 5 phone numbers from people wanting to come to church with me.
just in like maybe two hours
of just being outside. I wasn't even trying to get people's
yeah.
information. People were just wanting to be around us.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time that happened in America?
Yeah.
you gotta do extra work to get that to happen.
Yeah.
So it's a wide door open.
Yep.
Praise God. Well, once you guys get settled,
yes,
I'm going to bring a crew.
Please
yes.
do.
Come welcome.
Please
you're welcome.
Do. We're
going to
raise up some
yes.
more missionaries. That
yes.
Right?
You're welcome.
Oh,
it comes.
Well, sister, if you can give that information again so people can support you all on this next journey.
Yes. So, again, a great way to find us is through my husband's Facebook account. His name is Marlon Gale, Marlon, last name Gale, Gayle. And our email address is Gale Family on a Mission. That's Gayle, Family on a Mission at gmail.com. If you reach out to us, we can send you the information on how to become a prayer partner or how to do a one-time donation or monthly giving. But yes, thank you so much for this opportunity to be a part of this podcast and to share this information about our burden for pursuing.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, we love you so dearly, all of you all that are listening here on Legacy Leadership Alliance. I want you to support the Gills. They are remarkable people. And if you can do this for me, Brother Gill, if you can just pray for the people as we exit this particular podcast, I sure appreciate it.
Yes. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be, Lord God, together, Lord, believing in that name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything that you have done. You said all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Lord, we thank you for your purpose in all of our lives and for our testimonies. And in these last days, Lord God, we want to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. Lord, we are the church, and we want to be that priesthood of believers who take the church beyond the four walls, into our communities, into our homes, and to, Lord God, to the uttermost parts of the world. And it's not going to be by our power or by our might, but it's by your spirit. Let us be spirit-led, spirit-filled, and Lord God, have that apostolic identity, Lord, doing the work of the apostles, Lord God. The book of Acts is still being written, Lord. Use us, Lord, as the Acts 29 church. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we honor you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we love you dearly. Remember, it is better to live by principle than to die by impulse. You go with God and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Legacy Leadership Alliance podcast. We invite you to continue to join us at the intersection of religion, education, and the marketplace as we provide synergy and faith toward the future. Follow us on all podcast platforms and subscribe. Contact Sean Cooper at bishopsean@gmail.com. And remember, it is better to live by principle than to die by impulse.